Strive Live and it's Education Matters in just a moment. We've got two guests with us this afternoon. Let me just introduce the two joining us in the studio.
This is Education Matters.
Education Matters.
On Drive Live.
Now, Jane Whitby is here. She's the principal of Newlands School. Newlands is opening in September. It's in the Alwaka area, so lots of interest, I guess, in the Merdiff community in particular. Jane, nice to meet you. Good to have you here.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Sean Robison's here, CEO of BBD Education, regular guest in this studio. Sean, nice to see you as well.
Great to be back on the show.
Look, let's try and broach this subject. It's do we need more affordable schools? Simply put, yes, we do. Thanks for coming. That's all we need to cover now. But we do need more affordable schools, Sean. But can I just ask you to try and define affordable, first of all? Because it's different things, different people, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Within the education community, an affordable school is generally where the fees, the ceiling of fees, are around 27,000 dirhams per month. Okay. And the starting fee might be as low as 5,000 dirhams for FS1. The category...
27,000 what, a year?
Sorry. A year. So this range of fees from FS1 to year 13 means that parents who are generally considered middle-income parents can afford two children to go to school. Premium school fees generally start at around 30 to 35,000 for FS1 and go up to 70,000. Premium Plus, which is the next level up, generally start at 50,000 for FS1 and could go up to, in some cases in Dubai, 130,000 dirhams per year.
And in some cases even more than that, I guess.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously affordable is relative to the parents. But in education terms, affordable is seen as where the ceiling is around 27,000.
And is that generally seen in the sector, if you like? Is that how people would view it? Would that be a reasonable categorization?
Yes, that's okay. How people see it.
Okay, then. So, Jane, let me ask you. You are coming in a lot less than that, aren't you? Opening in September. I suppose, first of all, it must be quite exciting opening a new school.
It is. I've already opened a new school before in Egypt, and we were not a high fee paying school, and we were able to achieve standards of teaching and learning that were above the highest fee paying school. So I don't believe it's just to do with fees. If you give your heart and you give your best, that's not related to the money. That's related to the leadership of the school and the teaching and learning that goes on inside the school.
And the recruitment of teachers,
of course,
as
which
well.
We've done, and we've got a really great team coming, so it's exciting times.
How do you get people to join you who aren't necessarily concerned about money, though? How do you get people who are vocationally minded and kind of put the financial considerations aside? Because UAE, Dubai, is an expensive place to live.
Sure it is. And of course, when I'm looking at CVs, no matter what country I'm in, I'm always weeding out the people that are just looking for money or just looking for promotion, because somebody getting paid a lot doesn't actually make them a good teacher. So primarily what I look for in all teachers, irrespective of the wage, is extreme passion, love for children, commitment to developing children and giving them the best opportunities. That's really what I look for, and of course that they're qualified to teach. If I've got that, then I can have everything. But just offering a great wage doesn't get you a great teacher.
Sure.
Okay, so I guess if you're a parent, you're thinking, right, I'm trying to decide where to send my child to school. I look at the fees. What else should I be looking out for? Is a classroom size different in a cheaper school? Are there more children to a class?
Well, it all depends, first of all, on the real estate. Now, if I'm a parent and I look at the school, I also want to know the results. Now, a new school can't publish results. What we've seen in the past year is that affordable schools are actually in the top three and top four for GCSE results and A-level results in the UAE. And if they're in the UK, they'd be in the top 200. Now, Newlands School will have a maximum class size of 25. My daughter goes to the same school as you, Tim, and the class size is 25.
You're saying I need to go back to school?
So the class size, it does affect... Yeah. The fees, but it's not the number one factor.
Okay, so let's look at affordable schools in some more details then. Jane, what should parents be looking for? What do you expect, or what would your wish list of those questions that a parent should ask you be when they come in to see you to make that decision on whether or not they send their children to Newlands?
I think primarily they should be looking out for a head with great passion and who cares. I think that is the most important thing, because it's not just about the teachers, it's about the head. So they should be looking to see what as a head are you going to do with my child, not just what class is my child going to be in. So a parent looking around should be looking to see, does this head care about my child? I think that is an important thing that they need to be looking for. The second thing is, of course, is it fully kitted out, ready for 21st century learning with all the high technology, enough places for children to play freely, outdoor learning. All the things that you would expect in a top quality school will be found in our school. There's no difference. The fees do not dictate what we're going to provide with regards to technology, with regards to curriculums. We will be using all the same technologies as the high fee paying schools, all the same curriculums as the high fee paying schools. We'll have the same quality of teachers as the high fee paying schools. So they need to be looking at, what's the head doing with my child personally? What involvement can I have as a parent? Because our school, Newlands, will be one that does engage the parents to make sure that they are part of that process of educating their child. So the children and the parents will be very actively involved.
Okay. Now, all schools would say that they would actively engage in the community. So what do you do? How much more do you have to do? Because it sounds to me like you've got a lot more work to do.
Yes, I believe in giving my best at all times.
But it's harder.
For all people.
But you see, if I was listening to that now, I would think, hold on a minute, how is it going to be so different when it is so much cheaper? I mean, it's a naturally cynical approach to take, isn't it? That if you get something for less, is there not a downside to that? It's the old thing in the 70s. I used to see Made in China and think, oh, it's cheap, it's not going to last very long.
Mm.
And obviously that shouldn't be something that applies to education.
Mm. So when our parents come to our school, I am fully convinced and assured that they will get nothing less than what they would get at a high-achieving, a high-paying school. They will get exactly the same provision. As a matter of fact, they'll get more, because in our school, I'm a very passionate educator. I'm a passionate person about nearly everything that I do. And I believe in giving your heart. So one of the things our children will get in our school will be close attention, will be personalised learning in an amazing way. I've worked in over 30 different schools, and the personalised learning that we can provide is a great skill, and you have to know how to do it, and I know how to do it, and that's what's going to be in our school. So the children will get the maximum, but they will also be very well cared for and loved in our school.
Okay, we're going to come back and talk more about affordable schools in a couple of minutes. Sean Robertson's here from BBD Education. Jane Whitby is from Newland School. She's the principal of the school. It opens in September. Questions? Lots of questions in, actually. We'll come to some of those, but if you have something about affordable schooling, let us know, 4001 or via the free app. If you'd like to call, you could do that on 423 1010.
This is Drive Live
on Dubai I 103.8.
Drive Live, Natalie Linda Taylor is here co-hosting this week. We've got two guests with us on Education Matters.
This is Education Matters.
Education Matters.
On Drive Live.
Sean Robertson's here from BBD Education. Jane Whitby from Newland School. Jane is the principal of the school. It opens in September. Now, affordable schools. Newlands is an example of that. Here's a question for you, Sean. If you expect great results from a school and you're paying a load of money, that goes hand in hand, because surely the best school is the most expensive school.
Well, that's what you would argue, but which school advisor obviously publish results, exam results that is available to parents every year. Now, according to which school advisor, Al Salam Private School, with fees ranging from 14,000 to 27,000, recorded the second highest GCSE exam results in 2015. Which is an incredible result compared to all of the other British curriculum schools in Dubai that are charging significantly more. Similarly, Al Dayafa performed really well in A-levels in 2016, and if they were in the UK, they would be 187th in comparison to UK schools. And the school that is next to them charges 71,000 a year, and their fees reach a ceiling of 17. So there's a 60,000 dirham difference, but the results are phenomenal.
It's a reasonable sized fish in a pretty big pond, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah, yeah.
So, go on.
I was just going to say, how do you deliver that message to parents, though? Because you've got the old adage, if something's too good to be true, it usually is. So they're looking at the price thinking, well, this is a lot cheaper than the next best school. How do you get them to change the mindset to go, okay, it is cheaper, but look at the results, look at what we're achieving. How do you convince them that this is a safe bet? Because they're investing in their child's future, and it's an awful lot of money.
It is, and I think the two top things that parents should ask schools, the quality of teachers, which Jane has talked about, and secondly, the results, the value add. Mm. So can we see the results? Can we see the value add in the education? And when you ask those two questions, you then find out the real value. Schools aren't working in the real estate sector, and they should never be treated like that. So often when you go on a school tour, the registrar or the teachers talk about the building a lot. Mm. And I went to a school that was a really run-down school, and I have the philosophy that good teachers can teach in a shed without any resources. They can captivate, they can imagine, they can entertain, and the building is only 10% of the child's education. It's okay. Actually the interaction between the teacher and the child that matters the most.
As long as the building's safe to have kids in. But I take your point. It's a reasonable point. But if schools are delivering in the academic sense, that's great. But not all students, Jane, are going to be academically gifted, are they? So you have to take into account other things. You know, the extracurricular activities, the sporting aspects. I don't know. Chess club, IT, whatever it is. It's not all about results, is it?
No, it isn't. But we're not just looking at educating a child as if it's a program that we're looking after for a short period of time. With children in schools where the head and the teachers care about the child, you will be making sure that whether the child's academic or not, that they achieve the maximum that they can, and that they are constantly and individually challenged and supported to reach their absolute best. I mean, one of the things that Newlands will be having is an individualised programme for the children in all the subjects. So the children, and also there'll be lots of entrepreneurial lessons. It's not just a basic English lesson or a basic maths lesson. There'll be lots of planning within the lessons to make sure that all children's gifts come out, that children are challenged, and that children have a voice, so that if there's an interest for a child, that we can incorporate that into lesson planning to make sure that all the children are engaged. And whilst that might sound a bit cliche, it actually does work if you've got people who care. And at our school, we will care, and we do care. And so I believe that that's what's going to actually make a difference. Yes, you need the extra school clubs and all the rest of it, and that's all going to be organised by the school. And we will be having after-school activities, lunchtime activities, entrepreneurial learning. The way we're going to do our homework is really quite unique. Everything's quite fresh and quite new. So the idea is child comes first, and that's it. Child comes first, and that should be in every school, irrespective of the fees.
Okay. Do you feel in Dubai that we have over-reliance on keeping up with the Joneses in terms of where you send your children to school, the clubs they go to after school, Sean? Is that something that you
anecdotally and just from, you know, from speaking to parents, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, we have children doing skiing lessons, and there's nothing wrong with doing skiing lessons, but a lot of parents will want to be seen to be doing it rather than pursuing the child's interests. So there's an attitude within Dubai quite often that parents have to be seen to be doing something and keeping up with the Joneses and going to the latest extracurricular activity that's popular at that time.
Yeah.
But there might not be a really strong educational rationale behind it, and the child might not be interested in it or want to pursue it.
Well, see, this is the thing, isn't it? It's the educational rationale behind it, ultimately. And it's not just the children that you're going to have to be educating here, Jane, it strikes me. It's also parents in Dubai who are very keen on making sure their kid is at the right school, not just for the child, but also for their social standing. Mm. That's something you have to get around, isn't it?
Well, one of the things that I do is I always meet with my parents to discuss what is it that they're actually looking for their child, not just what is the outside package. What do you really want for your child? And what I've discovered, especially within the Arab community, is actually they want their children to be happy. They want their children to be successful. They want them to be leaders. They want them to be problem solvers. And speaking to, you know, hundreds of parents, that seems to be what they want. So that's what I will be looking at, is making sure the parents are aware of what they want, that I can draw that out of them. And then they can see that Newlands can provide that.
And Sean, Jane's made a very good case about the things that she does as a head teacher, the kind of people she wants to employ. But I guess if you're a parent, you're not going to get this opportunity to listen to what the school's ethos is. How do you suggest parents go about choosing that school then, if they're not to look at the financial side of things alone, if they're not to only look at the results table? Where does that leave someone who's struggling to decide where to send their children?
Well, they've got to go in and visit the school and meet the team. And every parent and every school is different. In a lot of cases in Dubai, a family may send one child to one school and the sibling to another school. and that's because the school is not right for both siblings. And that's what parents should do. They should go and visit the school and find out exactly what it is that matters to them. Does class size matter? I sent my child to a school where the class size were really small in the beginning, and we actually decided that she needed to be in a bigger class so she could be around other children like her, so there was greater competition. And when I explained that to my colleague, they said, "What do you mean? You don't want small class sizes?" I said, "No, that's not what I want for my daughter. I want her to be in a competitive class with other children." So I think you have to go and visit the school, and you have to you prioritize what matters most to you. Is it the teachers? Is it the technology? Is it the curriculum? Is it the sport? Is it music? Is it the class size? Is it the location that matters most? And you have to just make this list and visit as many schools as possible and decide.
There's going to be a compromise in there somewhere, isn't there, for most parents? No two children are alike, and nobody knows your kids better than you do. All those things being said, you cannot get around the fact that you have to go do your research, talk to your friends. Don't just listen to your friends because, you know, little Johnny's done reasonably well at a certain school. You can't get around the fact that you have to do the work.
Mm. Yeah, sure. Yeah, without a doubt, you have to do it. I mean, there are independent websites out there, Which School Advisor, Schools Compared. A lot of these websites have parental reviews on, but you have to go and visit. And in some cases, you bring along the child to the school and you get their feedback. One of the big things that I like to do when I visit a school is not to meet the principal, but to meet the children and have the children give you a tour of the school. If the children can give you a tour of the school, you can more or less hear it from the horse's mouth.
There's a text in here. A couple of texts in, actually, that we should get to. Jane, too good to believe, somebody says, no name on this. To achieve high results, you need good teachers. To attract good teachers, you need to pay them good, which means charging higher fees.
I'll answer this one. I'll just say, sure. Al Dayah for school, Al Salam school.
Read the results on the KHDA website.
Okay. The results are there. The results speak for themselves.
Okay. Well, they are there in black and white. Tim says, Ian, how do I know the quality of teachers? One for you, Jane, here. My kids go to a pretty good school, but I have no idea each year when they change teachers every year if they're going to get a good one. Obviously, you go up year groups, and it may be the teacher for your child. It may not be the ideal teacher for your child.
Sure, and this is a problem for many schools. One of the ways that I've dealt with this in my previous school is to make sure that every single teacher who comes in, no matter where they are, no matter how many years they've taught or what year groups they've taught or what curriculums they are used to, I make sure I go everything brand new. I come from a background of fast-track teachers where we were trained to be superheads in the UK. And one of the things that I've done is work in outstanding UK schools. So I've brought those strategies with me. So every single teacher that works at our school will be brought up to speed no matter where they've worked, no matter what schools they've worked in. And I do that all throughout the year by constant professional development, constant monitoring, not to say that I've done that, but so that I can make sure that the children are really, really learning all the time. And that will be done constantly by me. So all the teachers will be trained. Everybody will be taken through the UK teaching standards, and everything will have a very close eye on it.
We've had another text in with no name on, and they've said, look, affordable schools shouldn't be relative to parent income. And I guess when we're looking at those ranges, they're just a guide, really, aren't they, as to what kind of school level it's at. But I guess for some people, they're not in fixed income, so it's quite difficult for them to find a school that's affordable for them. That's the key, really.
Yeah, that's the point I was trying to make about relativity. You know, what's affordable to you might not be affordable to me, but in education terms, that's how they're classed in conversations.
And you've made some really strong points about schools that have lower fees and the success rates. But I think a lot of parents are still going to be drawn in by, okay, well, this school is quite expensive. They're telling me that my child will get this opportunity. They'll get to go on these school trips. They'll be socialising with children who are more like-minded, who are from families like ours. There's quite a lot of barriers to break down in terms of getting people to think, okay, this school is doing well academically. Mm-hmm. It's reasonable. What's the mix of people that are going to be in the school? I think there seems to still be a lot of problems in getting parents to look at schools differently.
I think there is, but I think with the current climate in Dubai, affordability is the number one priority for parents. So GEMS Founders School, which is classed as an affordable school, opened with 1,700 children this year, which is absolutely phenomenal. A lot of the more premium schools or the schools that are charging higher fees haven't opened with a high amount of children. So for parents who often choose premium schools because they want their children to be socializing or mixing with a certain type of children, if those schools don't have children in them, they're not getting the same amount of socialization. So it's a double-edged sword. Mm. So what we're seeing in Dubai is that the more affordable schools are actually becoming the more popular schools. And GEMS Founders is a really good example of that.
Okay. Education Matters continues. Two guests here. We're talking affordable schools.
No matter your preferred communication, stay in touch with Drive Live. Only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
You're listening to Drive Live. On today's Education Matters, we're joined by Sean Robertson, CEO of BBD Education, and Jane Whitby, Principal of Newlands School. We've had a text in, there's no name on this one, but it does say, what about all the extra private tutors parents pay for, including at the cheaper fee-paying schools, to support obtaining those excellent results we've been talking about? What do you think?
I think the caller has touched on a valid point, but what I would say is that I think private tutors exist across all prices of schools. So I've seen private tutors work with children at the most expensive schools, but also at the cheaper schools, as the caller has described. So it is a problem, and it does present quite logistical problems for the teachers as well.
And Jane, what do you think about that as a principal yourself? Is that a policy that you agree with, or is it something that you aren't happy about?
I don't agree with it, really. I mean, I'm aware that it happens in all schools, as Sean was saying, even at the very expensive schools. So therefore, you know, what you've got to look at is, what is the school actually providing per child, not just as a school to everybody? So in my school, I would prefer, and this is what we will be doing, that if a child is struggling to meet the standards, then we will address that in-house. We will have specialist teachers who support the children. They will be given extra different lessons in different places. Our home learning programme is all online, so that's easily differentiated per child. I would prefer that parents do not have external lessons, but that it's addressed in-house with the parents supporting that. And we, you know, one of the things I like to do is to support my parents and train my parents on how to help their child. So I prefer not to have this extra private tuition.
What about if your child needs a little bit of extra push in a very specific area? What if you feel it's a benefit to your child that perhaps their mathematics needs a little bit of extra push? Is there anything wrong with that?
We have qualified teachers who can be very specific, and I would be expecting my teachers to give those children everything that they need.
Okay, Rob texts in and says, we've been singling out Aldea for school because of the academic results that they've had, but he points out, look, it's got a good rating from the KHDA, not very good or outstanding or with benefits, whatever it is that the KHDA do. But it is a good point, isn't it? But generally speaking, it's seen as a good school, mm-hmm. academically perhaps very good, but there are other schools which are academically perhaps not quite as good, but viewed as far better by the KHDA. So, you know, the decision then is, mm-hmm. it's a skewed viewpoint, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, if you look at the schools that are in the outstanding category of the KHDA and then you look at the price points of the schools, there are two affordable schools in there. One affordable school in there, and the rest of them in very good and good are academically better than most of the schools in the outstanding category. Mm. So, and what I would say is that most parents don't just look at the KHDA rating. We know that parents are quite savvy with how schools are rated. They know that if the schools are rated very good, then the fees might be going up. So not all parents look for very good according to the KHDA. They speak to their friends and they look at the academic results.
Okay.
I was just looking at some of the detail about this because I don't have children, and I absolutely have been astounded. So I was looking at the research, and there's a cost of living report done, and it was saying some places year 12 cost as high as 94,000 dirhams. So they're starting with a baseline of about 22,000 for an Indian school and 50,000 for a British school as the sort of average points. But to go up for a year 12, 94,000. What kind of things could I expect to see my child having at that kind of level?
Well, for one, you would expect them to have very small class sizes.
By the way, it's my hypothetical child we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's not real.
You'd expect them to have very, very small class sizes. You'd expect them to have a number of extracurricular activities where the specialists are delivering the programs. So you would expect them to have a Mandarin teacher coming in who's fluent in Mandarin. You would expect them to be doing horse riding, equestrian, golf, skiing. You would expect to be getting a lot of value for what you're spending, and at the very least, very good academic results.
Mm. And Jane, you know, you've made some very strong points about your school, but if I had the 94,000 and my child could speak Mandarin and they could go skiing and they could have horse riding, why wouldn't I send them to that school?
I think the first thing you're looking at really is the school is there for education. As Sean mentioned earlier, you really are looking for value added. So if a child comes in at a certain level academically, there should be a great increase as he gets ready or as her, she gets ready year on year. I think all the extra things you can take your child to anyway. So really what you should be looking for is a school where your child can be happy, a school where your child is valued, a school where your child is looked after, a school where your child feels that that's part of his family, because that's a whole life they're going to spend in there. You know, it's a lot of years, and it's not just about horse riding and skiing. It's about how happy are they learning and being a creative learner, an innovative learner, realising that they're special, realising that they have all kinds of capabilities. I think that's the most important thing.
I was just going to add that I think it's really important that we recognise that Dubai is a really diverse community, and that in the past couple of years there's been a number of premium, expensive British curriculum schools opening, and actually the community needs more affordable schools. It needs more schools that offer really high quality education, but at a price that the majority of parents can afford. And that's why we've seen that these schools have been very successful in enrolling high numbers of children, because there is a high demand for that type of school in Dubai.
There is. It's very like real estate, isn't it? We need cheaper places to live. But, you know, it doesn't seem to me that rents are going down that much, nor are school fees at the moment. We had a call from Raja a little while ago. Your school, Jane, you're going to accept students from other curriculum schools? I guess so. It's just fitting the child to the curriculum,
course,
isn't it?
Yes, of course, absolutely.
Of course you would. There's your answer, Raja. Thank you for texting in. It's all the time we've got today on Education Matters. Sean Robison's the CEO of BBD Education. Good to see you again, Sean.
Great to be back on the show. Thank you.
And Jane Whitby, the principal of Newland School, which opens more affordable school, opens in September. Jane, all the best for the opening in September. Good to meet you as well.
Thank you very much.